Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 24, beginning at verse, 25, down through verse number 27. Tonight we're going to be talking about our vision. As I stop and think about vision, I realize that my vision, physically speaking, is getting pretty bad. I can look down at my Bible right now and I really can't make out what is being said. I have to put my glasses on. Once I put my glasses on, I'm able to see the words. I guess that comes with age. I'm starting to probably figure some of those things out. But tonight we're not going to be talking about our physical vision. We're going to be talking about our spiritual vision. And so I want to ask you, do you have direct vision or do you have peripheral vision? As you stop and think about the importance of direct vision, if we have direct vision, spiritually speaking, we're going to be focused on one object. And that one object is going to be God. We realize as we go through this life that there are a lot of things in this life that will distract us, that will catch us as we go through this life from the corners of our eyes. We understand that physically speaking, but more so spiritually speaking. We have to be careful that we don't allow the little things to distract us as we go through this life. If you would read with me Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse number 25. And listen to what Solomon says. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, as you think about what Solomon is saying, Solomon is encouraging us to walk in wisdom. Earlier in Proverbs 4, verse 7, Solomon says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. The book of Proverbs teaches us so much about heavenly wisdom and what it takes to walk in heavenly wisdom. In Colossians 4, verse 6, we are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The book of Proverbs will teach us how to do that. And here in this context, Solomon is thinking about the distractions. He's encouraging us to consider the distractions of this life and to have that direct vision. Now, if we have direct vision, we're going to have one object in mind, spiritually speaking. That object is God. It's His kingdom. It's righteousness. That should be our focus as we go through this life. And Satan is going to do everything that he can to distract us, to help to cause us to take our eyes off that one object. As I was studying for this lesson, I came across this observation. And let me read this to you. Your eyes select objects and direct your movements toward them. Stop and think about that. Your eyes select objects to look at and direct your movements toward them. Think about that spiritually speaking. If you would, go back to the book of Genesis. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to consider just a few examples of this observation that we just read. In Genesis chapter 3, we mentioned Genesis chapter 3, we see that Eve was seduced by wondering eyes. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, for neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in this day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Read with me verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, notice this, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and she did eat. Remember what we said. Your eyes select objects and direct your movements toward them. That's exactly what happened here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. She saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, and she was moved to eat that forbidden fruit. There are so many examples of what we see here in this observation that we're looking at. Let me give you another example. If you would, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. And these Old Testament examples are familiar. As you're turning over to the book of Joshua, the people of God just conquered Jericho. Joshua 7, they're going against the city of Ai. And remember what Joshua said. We don't need that many people to go against the city of Ai. The city of Ai is a lot smaller. But you remember, the people of Ai defeated the Hebrew people. And there's a reason. In fact, because of this, Joshua is on his knees. In Joshua 7, verse number 10, God tells Joshua, listen, you need to get up. There's sin in the camp. You need to deal with this, Joshua. And so we see that Joshua is going to call the people. And as you are probably familiar with the story, we read about the transgression of Achan. And listen to Joshua chapter 7, verse number 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Then Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Look at verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Joshua says, I saw, and I moved. I took. I coveted. I took. Notice another example in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see that David was challenged in this. In 2 Samuel 11, we see that it was evening, verse number 2, and David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, listen to it, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He saw the woman, Bathsheba, and David was moved to take her. And that's exactly what he did. And we see David committing adultery. Don't listen to what the world says when the world says you can look but not touch. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 28, for whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her hath already committed adultery in his heart. That's what we're talking about this evening, allowing ourselves to be distracted. And we're looking at these examples, and we're fixing to make some observations from these examples. But let me give you a New Testament example. And I know there are many more you can look at, but look at this New Testament example in the book of Acts. Turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip went to Samaria, preached the gospel, the Samaritans obeyed the gospel, they were baptized We learn about another individual by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. He obeyed the gospel. And look at this example. And this is after he obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. We see the apostles were called down to lay their hands upon those of Samaria to give them that the miraculous ability. And it says in verse number 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, listen, he was moved to do something. He offered them money. You see, your heart and your eyes cannot be separated. And what you see from all of these examples, and perhaps you've heard this before, our eyes are the door, are the gateway to our mind. A lot of times what we dwell upon is determined by what we're looking at, what we are observing. Now you take what we've said and you take the examples that we've looked at already and apply that now to temptation. Look at what the Bible has to say about temptation. And notice how all of this fits into this process of temptation. I'm convinced that if we're ever going to overcome temptation, if we're going to take that way of escape that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, we have to understand the process of temptation. Now listen to what James says as he talks about that process of temptation in James chapter 1, verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now verse 15, I believe, is some of the best scripture on this process of temptation. Again, every man is drawn by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Notice that terminology. When lust hath conceived. Literally, when you allow those ungodly thoughts to germinate in your mind, it brings forth sin. Notice how that all occurs in the mind. Now think about 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, where the Apostle John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." You see, that's how the devil tempts us as we go through this life. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Notice the examples. Every one of the examples that we looked at had to do with the lust of the eyes. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you actually see all three. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see all three in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, when Jesus was tempted by the devil. This is how he tempts us. With the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to look, and he wants us to not only look, but he wants us to look in such a way that we will entertain ungodly thoughts. Like Eve, like Joshua, like David, like Simon, and like we see happening today when we are tempted. The devil wants us to look. And the devil wants us to entertain those thoughts because he knows that once we begin to entertain those thoughts, this is where James 1 comes into play, when those thoughts germinate, when we allow those thoughts to wander, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. The process of temptation. Now, if you would, turn over to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Here in Philippians chapter 3, we see the focus, the direct focus that we are to have, that we're talking about from the book of Proverbs. But notice with me Proverbs chapter 3. And notice the focus that the Apostle Paul has in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth toward those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the focus, the direct focus, the one object Paul had in mind as he went through this life. He had his mind on God. He had his mind on the prize. He had his mind on heaven. Remember, the devil is doing everything to get us to look, to be distracted, to entertain ungodly thoughts, to allow those thoughts to germinate because it brings forth sin. But Paul had direct vision. Same chapter. Not everybody, though, had that kind of direct vision. Just drop down in Philippians chapter 3. Notice with me verse number 18. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to it. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to mind earthly things. And so, he wants us to look upon things that we shouldn't look at. One more passage and then we'll go back to the book of Proverbs. If you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Still speaking about direct vision. Focusing on one object. And here it is. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what the writer says. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so doth easily beset us, trip us up, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Focus in that on Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's the vision that we are to have as we go through this life. We are to focus on Jesus Christ. Now, as we go through this life, if we're focused on Christ, we're not going to allow ourselves to become distracted. We're not going to allow our minds to wander. Our minds are going to be focused on God because our eyes are focused on God. Listen to these encouraging passages. In Psalm 119, verse number 37, David says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." Notice that attitude. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. As you think about Job, a righteous individual, one who feared God, one who was pursuing holiness, and one of the things that you see Job doing in pursuing holiness is what we're seeing in these verses. He made a covenant with his eyes not to look upon a maid. Job 31, verse number 1. That's what we need to do as we go through this life. Like Job, we need to make a covenant with our eyes. We need to determine that we're not going to allow ourselves to be distracted from those things that will lead us astray from God. We're going to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Listen to Psalm 101, verse 3. David says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." Notice that determination. Dear friends, there are a lot of distractions, as you know, as you go through this life. We need to put our spiritual blinders on. We need to be focused on our God. We need to look forward. We need to look upward. We need to look heavenward. Because the devil is going to do everything that he can to distract us spiritually speaking, using the lust of the flesh, using the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Go back now, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and read with me verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Eyelids are synecdoche, they part for the whole. Solomon is talking about our whole being. He's encouraging us to have that spiritual focus as we go through this life. Having direct vision, focusing only on God. Now, if that's where our focus is, if our focus is on the spiritual, notice with me now verse number 26. We're now in a position, or we might say, we are now in a state to examine ourselves spiritually speaking. I believe you see that in verse number 26 when Solomon says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all of thy ways be established. In other words, think about how you live your life. Think about what you're doing, the choices that you're making as you go through this life. Christianity is all about making good choices, spiritual choices. But in order to do that, we have to practice self-examination. But in order to practice self-examination, we have to have the right perception. We have to have spiritual perception. We have to have spiritual focus. Our focus has to be on God. And when our focus is on God, we're going to think about how we are living before our great God. Think about some of these passages that we see in the Old Testament. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. I like that. Let us search and try our ways. Let's think about how we live our lives. Are we seeking the kingdom first? In the days of Haggai, the prophet Haggai in Haggai 1, verse number 5, encouraged the people to consider their ways. They stopped building the Lord's house. Oh, they were busy and they were building their own houses, but not the Lord's house. The prophet Haggai wants them to have spiritual vision, a spiritual focus on God, and Haggai wants them to think about the way they're living their lives. Throughout the Bible, we see passages like Lamentations, like Haggai. Passages like 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, where Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Think about the choices that you're making in this life. Are you thinking on a spiritual level? Are you living spiritually speaking? In Psalm 10, the psalmist describes the wicked. And he talks about the characteristics of the wicked. And one of the things that the psalmist mentions in Psalm 10, verse number 4, concerning the wicked, God is not in their thoughts. God is not in their thoughts. If we're going to be God's people, His children, if we're going to live faithfully, we're going to have the right focus. Our mind is going to have to be focused on God. And when our minds are focused on God, then we're going to take spiritual inventory. Then we're going to examine ourselves spiritually speaking. In Psalm 119, beginning at verse 59, David says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Don't you like that attitude? I thought on my ways. I thought about the choices I was making in this life. As we stop tonight and think about our own ways, as we take spiritual inventory, examining ourselves, striving to have this spiritual focus, are we walking with God? Are we striving to be imitators of God? Ephesians 5, verse 1. Are we growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3, verse number 18. Are we abounding in the work of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. Are we worshiping God on a regular basis? Hebrews 10, 24 through 26. Are we prioritizing, spiritually speaking, seeking the kingdom first? Matthew 6, verse 33. These are just some of the areas where we can examine ourselves. If we're striving to be God's spiritual people, then we are going to walk with God. We are going to be imitators of God. We are going to set our mind on things that are above, not on the earth. Matthew 6, 19 through verse number 24. And so Solomon says, verse number 25, you have the right focus. You let your eyes look right on, and you let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And then you'll be able to examine yourselves, verse number 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all of thy ways be established. Underline that. Let all of thy ways be established. This reminds me of what Solomon said earlier in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. We want to be wise and we want to understand what the will of the Lord is. We want to test all things and we want to hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Another passage that speaks on testing or examining what we do as we go through this life, which is a part of spiritual growth. Why do we examine ourselves? Because there's always room for improvement. It doesn't matter where you are at spiritually speaking. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how much Scripture you know. There's always room for improvement. We can do more than we did yesterday, I believe, spiritually speaking. We should never get to the point, spiritually speaking, that we become content. And we need to challenge ourselves to do more, to be a better person. It has to do with attitude. It has to do with spiritual focus. It has to do with spiritual examination. And then Solomon will say in verse number 27, once you're on the right path, once you're on the road of righteousness, the path of holiness, the path of purity, once you're on that path, look at verse number 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Don't veer from the holy path. Jesus talks about the path, doesn't he? In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He talks about that narrow path that leads to eternal life. That narrow path is that holy path. It's that righteous path. But then he talks about that broad path that leads to destruction. And he says, many there be which be on that path. Many there be which go down that path that leads to destruction. It's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be distracted, to veer from that straight and narrow path. And you know what's going to happen when we veer from the straight and narrow path? We're going to end up in the swamp of sin. And God doesn't want us to end up in the swamp of sin. He wants us to be on the right path that leads us to heaven. And I'm thankful that God has given us help. God has given us guidance. He's given us direction that will keep us on that straight and narrow path. But we have to have the right focus. Our eyes can't be distracted. We can't be looking at everything spiritually speaking. Remember, that's what the devil wants. Just like with Eve, just like with Achan, I saw, I coveted, I took. Just like he did with David. That's exactly what the devil wants. Don't allow the devil to tempt you with the lust of the eyes. Be like Job. Make a covenant with your eyes. Be like David. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Be like Paul. Keep your focus on God. Don't deviate from the straight and narrow path. And God will lead you to heaven. And that should be our goal as we go through this life. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Don't modify or don't try to modify what God's Word teaches. God's Word doesn't need fixing. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is complete. There is nothing wrong with it. And when we consider 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, God's Word will thoroughly furnish us to be the spiritual person that God wants us to be. I'm so excited about being a Christian. I hope you're excited about being a Christian. I hope you realize how much God loves you, how much God cares for you. I hope you realize how much God wants you to go to heaven. And He's given us so many resources to help us along the way. We have His Word. We have His help. We're able to pray. We're able to cast our care upon Him. We have brothers and sisters that will encourage us along the way. Everything that we need to know, everything that we need in order to be God's spiritual people has been provided. I hope Proverbs chapter 4, 25 through 27 will encourage you to have the spiritual focus that you need so that you can examine yourself spiritually speaking so that you can bring honor and glory to God. Tonight, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we want you to know that God is always willing, He is always ready to help those who are in need. If you never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. If you are a child of God, if you've been struggling with your spiritual walk, we want you to know God is here to help you. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. If you need God's help tonight, won't you respond to His invitation as we stand and as we sing.